they said they took that TV away.
Oh.
You don't get. You have to look there to see yourself now, because there's a delay with the new, with the digital thing. You missed it.
I don't mind. I can pose, and then I can see myself better.
Okay, you're on, Joan. You're on.
Thank you. Thank you. We've got to get used to this. Good morning, and welcome to the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau Board meeting, Thursday, September, in the tourism industry. And then last week, there was a loss of a young gentleman who was in a bicycle and car collision here in Morro Bay, Jose Duron. And he worked for Tognazzini's Dockside and for Gaffco Restaurant, and his wife for a number of years worked at the Sandpiper Inn, the Days Inn, and worked part-time for me at the Beach Bungalow for a while. Just a wonderful woman with a young family. He was 31 years old. They have four children, and she's expecting, and they're doing all the right things. Their kids are terrific students and involved in sports and involved in church, and our heart goes out to their family as well. So, Patricia, if everyone can just keep everybody in both of those families in your thoughts and kindnesses, and just I'd like to just break for a moment of silence in their honor. Thank you. And we could not go on today without recognizing the loss that our nation suffered 13 years ago with 9/11, and just keep the nation in our prayers as we move forward into the future, hoping that we secure ourselves and don't have any more losses like that, and recognize the coming together of our nation under this day. So thank you. At this time, I'd like to open it up for public comment. Any members of the audience wishing to step forward and speak publicly, you can speak on anything right now that may or may not be on the agenda, and we will open up to public comment as we move forward as well. So you'll have another opportunity to talk it up if you feel like it. Seeing nobody coming for Jane's coming down. Jane's going for it.
Public comment.
She's public commenting. If you could just state your name.
Jane Beeman, Morro Bay, California. I'm working with a group of people, and by the end of this month, we will have launched dogfriendlymorrobay.com with a pointer of petfriendlymorrobay.com. And it's going to be able to give people the maps of hiking areas. We're going to have a mobile app. We'll have every retail and restaurateur listed on what services and the hotels on their pet-friendly fees. So it's going to be really exciting, and one of the promos that they're doing, if anybody can zoom in on this, it's pretty cool. It's a dogfriendlymorrobay.com, and we're hoping to get enough of these for all the hotels and stuff. It's doggy biscuits, and it's wheat-free doggy biscuits. So it's pretty neat, and it's something that I think will bring a lot more tourism and focus on dog-friendly Morro Bay. Thanks.
Thanks, Jane. Sounds awesome. Any other public comment? No? At this time, we'll close public comment. And I would look to the board to make sure that everybody took a look at the minutes and had an opportunity to review those. And if you have any changes, if you could step those up right now and let us know what those changes might be, because I'm sure Jasmine is just waiting down there to doll it up and get it ready for us. Are there any changes to the minutes from last month?
No.
Motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the minute.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay. Thank you so much.
Can I just interject? I just want to compliment Jasmine on the great job on the minutes.
Yeah.
Very nice. Thank you for the detail.
But you did good.
Okay. Yeah. She did do a great job. Let's see, and we're moving on to next on the agenda, ratify the slate of officers. And so Last meeting, we put a slate of officers in, and we have to ratify them in order to get signatures changed at the bank. And so it needs to be in our minutes that we ratified the slate of officers from our last meeting. Is there anyone who has any comments on the slate of officers, or can we accept the officers on file for approval? Will somebody make that motion, please?
I just had one question.
Uh-oh.
Sorry. I know. I just want a clarification. When we voted on officers, how long is that term, Brent?
I believe that we were going to be going until January.
Oh, okay. I just want to know. Thank you. So, did somebody make a... I make a motion to approve.
To do, from my perspective, the budget has always been kind of something that it's been kind of, we didn't really know where we were at from month to month. So with Brett's help, we've set this up and our CPA as well. So we can kind of see month to month where we're at relative to our budget. And you'll see on the first column there in the visitor center, it has some percentages along with the tourism bureau. So we can kind of see where we're at month to month, like I said. So we're 1 month in, and, you know, so that's roughly around 8% of our budget. So you'll see that, you know, as we move along, we can gauge where we're at. There are a couple of things here that under travel, entertainment, and professional fees, some of those are a little bit high. We had some one-time expenses that we did initially, and that'll even out as we go out through the year. And you'll see under regional marketing, there's no money there except for the $40,000 in for the promotional events, so or community events. So you'll see that's kind of bare there, and you can kind of go from you know, tourism bureau, regional marketing, destination marketing, and then finally the budget on the end there. The other thing too with the budget, our budget committee worked, and we were kind of considering maybe hiring a bookkeeper and doing away with our CPA, because of this, you know, working with a CPA can be expensive. And one of the things we decided was to stay with our CPA, but go and work with him and limit some of the hours that he would, because, you know, a CPA is you know, they charge by the hour. So if we just give them a bunch of stuff that's unorganized, they have to spend time organizing it and collating it, et cetera, and that's more expensive. So what we're going to try to do, and Brent can jump in here as well, is kind of organize it, make sure it's coded correctly so all the CPA can, you know, kind of limits the time that they have to put into producing these P&Ls for us, so, and these statements. So we decided to stay with our current CPA, and we work with some of the payrolls. A lot of the payroll will be direct deposits, so that makes it a little bit easier also. So that's something else that we worked on. Brent, did you want to mention anything?
Yep, I was actually able to meet with the Georgian staff, and we were able to reduce the costs approximately about $400 a month just based off of having the accounts payable being more scheduled and more, you know, more organized. As Nick had said, we're making sure that things are coded when we receive invoices from the marketing agency as well as the PR agency. I have a specific process for that where all of the coding, there's a coding sheet done that breaks down their invoices, and so it's a lot easier for them to be able to code things to the account. We did move over all of the salary or all of the payroll to direct deposit, which that's going to save a lot on time and also on resources as well. So all of this staff will actually be on this next payroll period on the 15th will be on direct deposit. So we're trying every which way to be able to make things a lot more efficient and also to save a little bit more on those administrative costs.
I have a question. Okay, so if the percentages that are on here, what do they relate to? The whole budget?
No, the percentages relate to the line item budget. So when you're taking a look at payroll, for example, under visitor center, if you see 8%, it's 8% of the dollar amount that was allocated towards that line item.
Spent.
Correct. It's the dollars spent.
Okay, so total budget for 2014-15 is 826,502.
Correct.
And what you're saying is we've spent 8% already.
No, 8% of what's budgeted for payroll. So if you take a look at the 61,000 that's allocated for visitor center,
right.
The 8% is based off of what's being charged against that number, not total budget.
Let me take something more simple, because I'm kind of confused with the percentages.
Okay.
Okay, so the $40,000,
mm-hmm.
It has 3% next to it.
Yep.
And we have not spent anything. So
no.
What does that 3% relate to?
No, 3% has been charged against the $40,000.
For what?
For an event. We had one of the event grants that we had to pay for. They're not able to, I mean, they can journal entry that to be a 13-14 if that's what we want, if that's what we decide that we want to have done.
Well, but so basically the $40,000 is virtual right now because we haven't received it, and there was
correct.
Money in the bank.
Correct.
So we were looking at, so this is a virtual, this is what we're going to recommend to TBID to approve?
Correct.
Okay.
And as far as the percentages go, that $40,000 in regional is kind of a weird situation, as we just talked about. But the, under Visitor Center and Tourism Bureau, even under Destination Marketing, if you take one month of a year is 8% roughly, I believe. So you can kind of gauge month to month where you're at budget-wise, and 2 months in or 3 months in, you know, a quarter of that. So you can kind of gauge, are we a you know, are relative to our budget, are we spending, you know, whatever month we're in to that percent or that dollar amount? I mean, I'm not explaining it very clearly, but once you kind of go month to month, you'll kind of see how it'll work out. And that's kind of how I've worked with budgets, you know. And then if you get 6 months in, we're halfway in. Have we spent half of the money designated for that specific thing? If we haven't, we can massage it, work it, and we can move money from one category to another, depending on where we're at on our budget. So,
no, I know how that works.
Okay.
That I'm the one that wanted the percentages there. It's just that the thing is, everything should equal 100% at this time because we haven't spent any of this money. Or
well,
if
we're
have,
1 month into our budget.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is that on that $40,000, which is virtual, we mm-hmm. should have had the rollover from the other one on
right.
there. That's where I got.
And that's
very
one
confused.
Flaw right now where we're at when we go from one year to the next. Where are we at? What do we have left over? How much is it? And where are we going to do with it? So we don't really know that number right now. So that's one thing that we'll need to tackle as we go through this year and go into the next year. Make sure we have that amount. We know what that amount is. What do we have left over? And where are we going to do with it? What you know? What category are we going to put it in? So,
question I have: do we close the book for last year, and we're or not yet?
I don't think we have. I mean,
we did officially close the books, but it just has to be. We have to.
We haven't reconciled.
Right, we have to reconcile mm-hmm. from. Correct.
So I think we need to do that. Then we'll know what
right.
leftover is.
Exactly.
And
right.
then you can bring this to this budget.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And all of you know, but for folks around town, it's important to note that we do a grant funding that basically the grants are awarded in January, but some of these grants don't, pardon me, some of the events don't actually happen until the following fiscal year. Two good examples of that are 4th of July, which happens just after the beginning mm-hmm. of the new fiscal year, and Harbor Festival, which happens in October. Those grant funds were given in January of 2014 for their 2014 events, but those events actually happen in the following fiscal year, so that money is banked and carried over for when they need it. So.
Yeah, I think that should be no problem. I think we just need to reconcile last mm-hmm. year and carry over whatever left over. We should be fine. The only question I have, How much reserve, we discussed this once before, how much reserve are we going to have this year based on what we, you know,
right,
discussion we had last, I think, meeting, to have some kind of a reserve. So I think we need to go back on that and see on the budget what we want to do or where we can get that reserve. Otherwise, it looks good.
All right.
Thank you, Nick and John.
Can I just, could we do the same percentages on the revenue side? And what I'm thinking is to prevent us from getting in the situation where we didn't get our money on time for the city, if we're tracking it on the revenue side as well.
All right. That's a good, yeah, that's really, it's kind of difficult sometimes because Brett and I have met, mm-hmm, and spoke about how we receive the money from the city, and it, you know, we'll get a check that will be, you know, part of July and part of August, and then we'll get a check that's part of August and September. I mean, so it makes it a little bit difficult from month to month to really, you know, reckon, and then a payment will be late, and, you know, that, or someone may pay a little bit late, so it's kind of jumbled sometimes. Brett, do you want to jump in there? Because you're the one that...
Yeah, we can work. We can definitely work on that. You know, we did receive a check from the city that was partially June, partially July, and it's just really a matter of having Ms. Layton at the city to be able to break that down for us. So, yeah, that won't be a problem.
On the revenue side as far as percentages.
I will add that to the report for next month.
All right.
I have one other question. And actually, this is kudos for Brent. Yourself up off the floor.
Oh my goodness.
Of
those funds, because as a part of it being a goal for the organization, we definitely want to see if we can meet that and exceed that. Obviously, it's always my goal to exceed revenue goals than to just meet them. So there's going to be a lot of opportunities throughout the end of the year for us to partner not just with the lodging, but also with the rest of the business community here in Morro Bay.
Great. So thank you, Nick, and thank you, John, for working with Nick, and thank you, Brent, for working with Nick and John. So let's just touch really quickly under the treasurer's report on TOT. Speaking of percentages.
Wait, I have a question.
No, we need to approve.
We're having a TBID meeting in October,
mm-hmm,
so don't we have to make a recommendation to TBID to approve this budget with some of those changes?
We have adopted our budget already back in June, so that's the budget we're working on. We don't have to...
But TBID's the one that gives us the money.
Well, that'll be on the agenda. We've already approved the budget that we sent forward to the city
council.
Is
this the same budget, or has it been changed?
No, this is the new adopted budget.
The one we adopted in June?
We did a preliminary adoption, I believe, at the May meeting, as well as the, I don't know if we did a July.
It was June, because we hadn't gotten the money. We didn't know the money that we had. So we did make a change to the budget, because we had to come in. If you remember, we...
So all I'm asking is, we don't have to approve this, or do you think for dotting the I's and crossing the T's, we should approve this and then just bring that to TBID?
Probably not a bad
idea.
Right,
it's probably just the adoption of the budget.
I'm looking for a motion to adopt the budget that was presented before us today, titled Morro Bay Tourism Bureau 2014-2015 Budget with the July-August 2014 changes.
I'll make that motion as stated.
I'll second it.
Discussion? All in favor?
Well, I just want to make sure that we have some reserve. I think we need to go back on this.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to bring up, if you remember, the discussion was that we were going to send it to the Finance Committee, and the Finance Committee was going to come back with the changes, which we see, but part of that was for a discussion of reserve. So I think, you know, it's fine to adopt this budget. Since we're in discussion, I have no problem doing that, but I think we need to make sure we have a future agenda item of what we want that reserve item to be, because that was something that we had discussed that hasn't got followed through.
I agree with that, but just want to make sure that we work on that reserve, especially with getting city money the way we are. We do need to have a good reserve.
Bring it up at TV.
Okay. I will add that to future agenda items.
Okay. So you need to. So there's a motion and a second on the table. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None? For all you opposers. Okay. And just to drop in and give a little news on TOT for July. Thank you. July, we had 83% occupancy with 913 rooms, a room count that was up slightly from last year. In July, we had, a RevPAR of about 118 with an ADR of 142.32. Most interestingly, though, to the hotels and the TBID and the city, this is actually working because this is the first month ever since 2009 when this bid formed that a single month has reached six-digit numbers. Just wanted to point that out. So it's the first time that we broke $100,000 in collections for the bid. I think that that's a significant milestone for the hoteliers in terms of promoting and return on investment and putting that money back in to ensure return on investment. We can't control the number of rooms that come in or out of the community. We can't control the quality that some people might want a boutique hotel, some people might want economy or mid-scale. That's not for us to control. What we can work on is the revenue stream into those facilities, and that's what we're trying to do here, and that's the goal, is to work on the revenue stream. One other thing that I want to let you know is that in comparing the intake for July to the city budget for TOT is $2,250,000. That's the adopted budgeted number for 14-15 fiscal year. I went back and using Jane's theory of putting percentages to things, I went back and looked at last year's TOT and the year before. July was approximately 13.
The hotel receipts were $500,000 over last year, $500,000 in 1 month. So that, to me, I can understand that. And that
makes a whole lot of sense.
So right. That is something that is incredible. So let's continued success. So
absolutely.
You know, I just want to piggyback on to all the hoteliers that are out there and say thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, I know me personally, I want to thank the staff and just everybody out there working hard because it was a very busy summer. And that means short housekeeping. That means short maintenance. Yeah, and we all know finding some good staff this summer has been really tough. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank the hoteliers because, as you can see, there's a lot of revenue that came in, but there was a lot of hard work put into that, too.
Absolutely.
So I just don't want that to be forgotten. I know a lot of us up here sitting on this table, we're all probably making beds over the summer because we were short-staffed, and we were working really hard to turn those rooms and to get those ready so we could produce revenue and still have revenue come in when we were short. So I just don't want to forget those hoteliers out there for hard work. Hard work to the restaurants
Absolutely.
And the activities and shops, the whole city. But, you know, we're the ones that have to house them and pick up the puke.
Absolutely.
And deal with all the trash and all of that stuff. So I don't want that to be forgotten out there. So, yeah. So thanks, hoteliers, for
sick
working
kids,
hard.
Sick kids, dog hair.
Yeah.
You know what I would be really interested in, and I agree with everybody, it was an amazing summer. We sponsored the trolley, and this is actually a task for Brent or maybe Nick and Brent. I would love to know if the North Morro Bay restaurants got more business this summer, maybe because of the trolley. I'm just curious. That's for a future thing, but I'm just curious because I know that we sent people to restaurants in the North End and told them they could ride the trolley. So I was just curious if that worked. That's all.
Well, Jane, just to answer your question on that too, Janine from the city and I are going to be sitting down in October to go over the final numbers for the year, and then that will be reported to the board prior to the board meeting, but then it will be an official report at the November meeting.
Go ahead, John.
Just a couple of thoughts. One is the motel business was up 27, almost 28%.
vacation rentals were up 50%, and trailer parks were up almost not at all, you know, less than 10%. And does anybody have a feel what happened in the trailer park revenues?
Because they're booked summer all the time, so it doesn't make, you know, they don't fluctuate.
You can't grow if you're already full all the way.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And the other thing is, don't forget, we went from 906 rooms last year to 913. Plus, if we would get an ADR, you'd also see there was an increase in ADR from one year to the other, too. So that affects us a lot, as well as but VRBOs are growing at a faster rate than the hotels. And the Airbnbs aren't even included in that.
Yep.
It's only the licensed.
And then the other thought, and this just, Joan said this, I think, two meetings ago. July this year compared to July last year, is $84,000 extra money, tax revenue, went to the city for the 1 month in TOT. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I would really, really love to know where that money is going. We've budgeted far in excess of what the city has budgeted for TOT. We're actually turning in numbers higher than that. So I think we need to hold our city officials to task about where this money is going. Last year, we budgeted $2 million for TOT. The city budgeted $2 million for TOT. We actually turned in $2,515,000. So there should be a surplus in the city budget of $515,000. We won't see a financial statement on the city until probably next April. For this past year, I would really like to know where that money goes.
Well, John, building on that comment, that's why I did the percentage, because I was looking at that. So that 13% of July was 13% of revenue last year with that number that you just gave. This year, if we say, okay, it's going to be flat, it's going to be 13% of the revenue. It's not going to be 15%. It's going to be 13%. What's that number? That number is $111,000 higher than that. The number that came in, the $401,000 that you see there, is $111,000 higher than the $292,000 that 13% represents. It's big. It's actually more volume in, adjusted for the actual number. So, you know, let's hope it's going into a savings account to fill some potholes for somebody to back their camper into. So using that theory on hotels, there's no place for them to go, and it compresses down into the vacation rentals. And I think that's part of the reason why they've seen significant growth, is because we have created a revenue stream. We've created eyes onto a revenue stream. We see growth in the hotels, $500,000, as Nick pointed out. And with that, we're compressed. There's only so many rooms in the inn, Morro Bay, the entire city being the inn. And so they want to come here, they want to stay here, and the other lodging option is vacation rentals. So it's logical that they would see an increase. I understand wanting regulation and everything of that industry. I totally get that. I'm not saying that that's not right. But what I am saying is we can't attribute, there's a lot of spokes in the wheel. There's a lot of factors. It's not just they're growing in.
I understand that. The thing is that they should be paying taxes like we are. They should be regulated like we are, and that's really what the issue is. But it's not as regulated as we are.
Excuse me. Every time I help to pay for an overnight stay option, people can go on our website because it's directed there. And they have a choice. They have a choice to rent any hotel. They have a choice to rent trailers. They have a choice to rent VRBOs. Okay? They have a choice. We're the only ones that are paying for our overnight stay options. We are marketing for VRBOs. This is the same argument that the taxi drivers have with Uber. All I'm asking is level the playing field. Just let them pay 3% also. I mean, I wasn't 100% full. I had rooms available. When people want to stay 2 and 3 days or more, a lot of them want to go ahead and and rent a home. It's cheaper in the long run. They don't walk our streets to pay for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So it, by them not paying 3%, it's also taking money out of our restaurateurs and our retailers. So level the playing field.
Thank you. We are off topic, and so I'd like to get us focused again, if you don't mind. I'm going to crack the whip and say that we're accepting the TOT report for file, and we're moving on to poor Verdin, who just had to suffer through our entire conversation. They're like, what are we doing here? So we now have Verdin Marketing Group, a presentation, and for the implementation of the plan of the 2014-15 marketing plan, and I'm actually going to turn it over to Brent to introduce everyone.
It is my distinct pleasure to introduce the team that I am working with to help market and promote Morro Bay as a destination. Mary Verdin, she is the captain of their ship, and then we have Megan, and I'm sorry, Megan, every time that I try to pronounce your last name, I always get it wrong.
Revoir.
Ashley is to Megan's left, and then to Mary's right is Jamie. She is actually the new web and social media guru for us. And then we have Lisa, who is, I just have so much respect for this woman because she is the one who wheels and deals on our behalf for different marketing buys. So without further ado, I'm going to hand it over to you, Mary. Thank you for coming today.
It's our pleasure, and we work with many government entities, so we're used to sitting through meetings like this. No problem on that. Thank you so much for having us at the meeting today. We really appreciate the opportunity to meet all of you in person and to tell you a little bit about us and about the plans that we have for Morro Bay and answer any questions that you have. All of us here have been in the county a long time. We each have our own experiences and memories of Morro Bay, and so pulling that all together is really excited to be part of the team. Congratulations on your TOT numbers, and we look forward to helping you continuing the increase in that direction. So first, just a quick agenda so you know what we're going to be covering today. We'll do some quick introductions of the firm and of ourselves. We'll go into the marketing goals that we have for Morro Bay, the plan of action, touch on the creative concept and show you some of that work, and then open it up for any questions. Now, even though we're up here at a podium with a microphone and we have this presentation, it's certainly if there are questions as we go through, please just let us know and make this more of a conversation rather than us talking to you type of a thing. So as Brent said, I am Mary Verdin, so I'm the President and Chief Strategy Officer of the company. And so basically that means my role is I get to work with all of our clients on a strategic level.
And I'm Ashley Akers. I'm the Vice President of Client Services. I get to manage the wonderful account team. And Stephanie Goodwin,
I've been in the area for 23 years, in marketing that whole time. And in 2003, I founded Verdin Marketing, Inc., as the name was then. The five of us here actually represent a team of 15 people back at the office. But we really wanted to take this opportunity for you to meet the core team working on Morro Bay in person. So that's why we brought kind of the troops with us today. But we do have a number of other people back at the office. Our services, we're a full-service marketing firm, so our services include everything from the strategic planning and research to the creative development to the actual placement of the marketing message in either advertising or earned media or digitally with social media. It's just a snapshot of some of the clients we have. We work with a number of government agencies and boards. So as I said, we're used to coming to meetings like this and presenting. We also work with a number of nonprofits and private businesses in the area. So I will hand it over to Ashley.
All right. So first I wanted to just kind of touch on the marketing goals. And when we started working with Brent, we knew that the marketing plan and there was a marketing plan in place and really dividing that and looking at, okay, what is it that we're really going to focus on this next year? So what we see is the three major goals is really increasing overnight stays in Morro Bay, increasing the midweek stays, and then increasing visits during the off season for hotels, motels, and other stakeholders. And the strategy that we're going to be using to really implement this plan and reach these goals is to develop this stunning campaign, which we're going to show you today, the Morro Bay Way. and execute it in both traditional and digital media, and then really share the experiences of Morro Bay. We want visitors to come here, experience all the things that Morro Bay has to offer, and then share that with all their friends and family. So we're going to go into the plan of action. I'm going to let Lisa go over what the implementation plan looks like.
Have to get those little reading glasses on. There's a lot of information on this slide. It's a little detailed out, but basically the most important thing is when we're looking at the overall strategy for Morro Bay, we sort of are blending two different concepts. One is we're going to talk heavily to people that are already in the mood to travel. Those are always the easiest people to capture, but we also want to make sure that we spend a portion of the budget and we aggressively talk to people just to nudge them into the mood to travel. I loved the ideas with the dog parks because that's always something that people love to do as well. So it's a blend of these two. We also want to go to the very best of both worlds. So you have a long relationship with TripAdvisor. I'm not sure if everyone's very familiar with that program. It is the number one place for travelers to go internationally, everywhere. It's the number one. They do have, I actually wrote it down, 260 million unique visitors monthly. 76% of the people that go to TripAdvisor change their mind and go somewhere else. So it is a very good place to put this beautiful creative that we're working on for you. Sunset Magazine is the same way. It talks to people that want to travel. The average age, the median age of a Sunset subscriber is 49 years old, $78,000 income. 80% of them have upper educations. They're looking for wonderful places to go visit. And Visit California, which partners with Sunset, that captures some of the international travel. They have a lot of programs. So those are the ones that are focused on the travel industry. We will also be including social media advertising in addition to social media messaging. So that means that we can go in and we can tell Facebook, anybody that's ever said they want to race a sailboat, or anybody that surfs, or anybody that says any of the wonderful things that are offered in Morro Bay, we can target them in a wide geographical area and give them beautiful pictures and some messaging and some specials and contests and do a variety of things to include them. YouTube works very similarly, but we can use that in video. And then we will blend that with some advertising that I'm not sure if you're familiar with programmatic advertising, digital advertising. If you go, I always joke about if I go online and I look at handbags, and then the next day I go to check the news website, and suddenly I see an ad for handbags there. How did they know? We call those hunting ads. And those can be triggered by online behavior, so we can target people based on their ages, their hobbies, their location. We have a variety of ways that we can target them, and then we will offer up little reminders that wouldn't it be wonderful to spend some time in Morro Bay.
Lisa, I call that cyber stalking.
Oh, exactly. Unfortunately, it's true. We just want to do it in a very charming and loving way. Google AdWords works very similarly, although without the visual impact, because that's all text-based. But if someone's stuck, if you're familiar with the package you have with TripAdvisor, you have multiple pages on TripAdvisor, and it is you can go in and find out how many people are getting page hits. It was interesting to hear you talk about July. You had almost 8,600 unique visitors just for the month of July on TripAdvisor. Currently, TripAdvisor is talking to itself, meaning that you would have to look for Morro Bay, and you'd go into Morro Bay and you'd find all the things to do there. We will also be complementing that in the future with some advertising that will be, we found that a lot of people that look at Morro Bay as a destination also look at Pismo Beach, also look at Avila, also look at Monterey. So we will be sprinkling ads in these adjacent beach towns to encourage them to come. Those ads will direct people onto the Morro Bay website. And currently, there's no advertising running right now just because it's seasonal as we start the new calendar year. But there are also ads that can put people back into the landing page of TripAdvisor or we can just always send them out to your current site. So either one. Any questions that I can answer for you on this part?
Lisa, yes. You know, where it says travel newsletter sponsorship,
uh-huh.
Is that, what is that? I may have missed something.
I was a little vague when I wrote it. Sunset is offering us, Sunset has, in addition to their regular subscriber base, they have a lot of people that have that participate in their newsletter.
Right.
And so as part of the negotiations with a lot of different things, they've given us a bonus to be able to, one of the months, have some specific advertising from Royal Bay that will go out to 100,000 of their subscribers just for the newsletter. But that's through Sunset.
Okay.
Other questions?
On the TripAdvisor, when it guides back, I don't know how everybody else feels, but to me, it's more fair to all the hotels if it guides back to the morrowbay.org page, and the reason why is because some of the hoteliers don't advertise with TripAdvisor.
Got it.
So they can't book there.
Mm-hmm.
And additionally, I mean, there's no way a hotel like Jane's or Alex or any of us in Morro Bay at all can compete with booking.com or hotels.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually, when you go to book, it says book the room now, and people think they're going to your personal website,
right.
And they're actually going to a third-party booking agent. But if
right.
it goes back to morrowbay.org, then it is an extra step
yes.
in terms of they have to then use the widget at the top
right.
again. But it somehow, you know, it does book them directly into the source.
And that's no problem. That's the way it's been set up, and we can continue to maintain it that way. And I also wanted to let you know that I did go and look at the Morro Bay site, and you do have a very good referral system coming out of TripAdvisor, so you can actually track, depending on the month and the volume. And there's an awful lot of people that are using your site on their desktop and on their phones. So you come in when you look at an average over about a year and a half, somewhere between 7 and 10 or 11 as far as the amount of referrals. There's going to be a certain portion of people that are going to stay in TripAdvisor. They're going to book through whatever on TripAdvisor. But you're still getting a very good revenue stream back to your website. And so we will continue to maintain that and make sure that continues to happen.
I have a question.
Yes.
How do you track the newsletter results?
Well, this is a new product, and
I'm asking because we've done the newsletter before.
For Sunset?
I can't remember if it was through BCA or through the other one, but we were doing the Sunset with the newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that statement, so I was just curious how you track that.
I think basically what's going to happen is it's probably going to have a linkage that will identify at your website that there was a linkage through a Sunset product. We included this. If this had been offered to me to purchase, I would have had to go very in-depth. But in this case, they gave it to us as added value. So
would we be able to add, or would they be open to having a tracking pixel added to our digital ad to track it?
I'm not sure, and I apologize, but I can certainly find that out and
okay.
get that back in an email to you.
Thank you.
And we can, absolutely. Any of these things that we do, if we want to pull them out and see exactly how this portion is tracking, we can do a slight direct to a different page that they could go through. Other questions?
Okay, I have one other question.
Yeah.
So did you say that right now we don't have any ads running?
Correct. The way TripAdvisor works is it's a big package, and it's interesting as the digital arena grows. These big advertising places are becoming more clever at packaging things in certain ways. So currently you have half of your fee for the year, which will come due again in November, I believe it's about $11,000, is to own the landing pages for Morro Bay, the shoulder season. It's very hard to say, sold, yes.
That so wait a minute, so here's
shoulder
my question.
Season.
When those ads ran, did they run starting in November or starting in September or August?
I did not have access to that information. The transition of us having specific information was a little bit vague. I can, in fact, go back and ask TripAdvisor to help us recreate what happened. I just know that they did run sometime between October and March or April, and I'm not sure the frequency In some cases, you might have been bigger and deeper in one place and not in someplace else. So there's a variety of strategies that could have been used on how to maximize that. We so strongly believe that that's a good idea for you that we've even encouraged a little bit more money to be spent there and be a little bit more strategic about where those ads will go.
All right, because the only reason I'm bringing that up is because usually ads have a 60 to 90 day lead time mm-hmm. with return. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have ads in now, mm-hmm. we're going to lose out on the shoulder.
Right.
So the point is that, in my opinion, when we had the money in the budget and you guys were hired, why aren't those running now so that I can have, you know, we can have at moralbay.org return on, and I'm not pointing a finger, by the way.
No, I understand.
I'm just talking out loud.
Right.
Those ads need to be running today, not January.
My understanding, and I'm going to defer some of this back to the team, but my understanding is as soon as we get a creative approval, those ads can literally be running within a day or two. So we're good as far as part of this presentation, everybody agrees creatively, it will be easy to get them up and running, and I agree, we want them happening as soon as possible. So there's also going to be some flex just to help in these kinds of conversations. The media budget is a flexible document. So we thought, well, gee, we're not sure what's August looking like, we're not sure what September, so we sort of arbitrarily sort of kicked things off in October, but it does have the flexibility to pull that back and rearrange some stuff and to go back in and say, no, we want to make sure we start now. So it is flexible, and a lot of the print portions of it are sort of a little stricter because there's only certain versions of Sunset that'll come out at certain times. But the digital is very flexible, and that's one of the beauties of it. We can flex with, when things get a little quiet, we can flex up, we can flex back.
So I have one other question, and then I'll be quiet and everybody. This goes actually to Mary, because I think you started out with this, and you were talking about the strategy. Weren't you talking about strategy or somebody else? And you had strategy for overnight stays and for off, you know, shoulder stays.
Yeah, the goals.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. So what's the measurement goal so that we can say, yay, you were successful?
You know, I'm going to defer that to Ashley because she's a little closer to the specifics on it. But we always have, obviously, the biggest metric is going to be the TOT and watching how the TOT, that's the, you know, the end result that we want at the end of the day is to increase lodging stays. But I'm sure we have some other.
So then that would be vacancy. Mm-hmm. Occupancy.
Mm-hmm. Occupancy.
Yeah, correct. Because, you know, if ADR changes, you know, that's TOT. I think that the occupancy would be a good thing. And I know that in the past, we always set a goal of, what, 5%? Wasn't it 5%? John? Growth. Yeah, it was a 5% year on year. Yeah. 10%. That's our goal. So mm-hmm. if you haven't been given that figure, okay, great.
And what we do is at the, now that we're, because we are going to be showing you creative, and once we have the implementation plan ready to go this month, we will be providing a monthly report that has all the different metrics. So we are going to be looking at the website traffic. We're going to be looking at top performers as far as our advertising, what ads are working, how many click-throughs, what's that click-through conversion look like, and what does the room and occupancy look like. We will have a lot of stats as well as our social media stats. So I think once you see, we're in the process of building that report currently, and I know Brent and I and Stephanie are kind of looking at what the style of that report's going to be looking like for you guys, so it answers all of those questions, and you can see on a monthly basis how we're tracking, and then what adjustments we need to make to increase those numbers. That's the plan.
Regarding the TripAdvisor initiative, since it's like the TripAdvisor army questions that are coming towards you, I have on the destination page. In the past, when TripAdvisor first came up 5 or 6 years ago, they came up like with a fury and became like the leader in how lodging became booked based off of when they cross over onto the hotel page, what are they looking at? Are they looking at, you know, for, let's take July, since, you know, we're talking a lot about that. Are they looking in March to July? So my curiosity as a hotelier is, are they looking at the whole destination in terms of compression for the destination? Are they looking at the whole destination 6 months out and then making their booking decisions for my hotel 2 months out or 30 days out or 15 days out? What is the consumer trend there? Because not only does that help with possible co-op advertising, for, you know, Brent in terms of the destination, but it helps us to understand the consumer for the destination when we're developing a marketing plan for the future as well. So any information we can get like that would be huge, I think.
Let me give you a little bit now, and then I'll give you a little bit more later.
Okay.
I do know that on TripAdvisor currently, when they compress all those 250 million people monthly and then do a bunch of averages, there is a report that's generated that we can actually look through, and I just got my hands on it recently, so I haven't fully digested it all, but it does tell us how many people came to the landing page, how many people clicked through separate pages. I will investigate to find out if you stopped becoming alerted because there was some administrative naming changes internally in TripAdvisor. Uh-huh. I'll find out about that. That's the part that I'll find out about and get back to Brent, and he can report back to you.
Okay.
But I do know that statistically 45 days is sort of the average TripAdvisor,
right,
from I'm looking to I'm booking. And they usually make 2 to 3 visits to TripAdvisor to hunt around. I also know a very high percentage of people they think they have a destination in mind. It's like 2/3 of the people have, they think, oh, I'm going to go to Avila, and they don't end up booking it in Avila. So TripAdvisor offers all these wonderful things. The tracking abilities are very in-depth, and I can ask them to work with us to answer some of those questions and to give us a tutorial to compress that information that will go into the report so that we will give you, this is what happened, this is the analysis of what happened, and this is what we recommend as far as any changes or stay the course. And so that will be included monthly with the report that you get from our agency.
Great.
The other nice thing about working with Lisa and team is that we might be looking at Expedia is actually adding some advertising components, and there's 80% of our lodging in Morro Bay are selling rooms on Expedia, and I know I spoke with Lisa about the possibility of using some contingency funds to do a test with Expedia to see if we can get some traction on that. So there's a lot of exciting things on a digital standpoint that we can do and pick up. And again, as Lisa had talked about, you know, the plan that I actually emailed out to you guys, it's not something that I'm really comfortable in putting up on the screen because, you know, we do have our competition that sees this, and I don't really want them to see what our master plan is going to totally be, but I think the beautiful thing is that there's some flexibility, and you know, as far as like the implementation plan, I think they did a nice job as far as like detailing out more, because that was something at a request from the board on better reporting, better knowledge about like what we're doing as far as marketing. So thank you, team, for doing that for us.
I just want to, just one other quick comment. One thing I think you're really going to like about the way we're going to be doing the reporting is we're very big into transparency and we're very big into metrics. So when we came on board, there was a marketing plan already in place, but it was not very clear what those goals were. And so one of the first things we did was go through that document and pull out, you know, instead of having on page 5 some goal listed, let's put all the goals right at the beginning, because we wanted to be very clear, how are we going to measure the success on this? And we have a track record of really analyzing everything that has been implemented and coming back. And if something's not pulling the way we thought it would, we will tell you that. And we will tell you what our recommendations are to adjust that so that we do continue to see those results. So just on the reporting side, I think you'll like that.
I have a comment.
Alex?
Yeah. I personally more interested on digital, just so you know, and I think print is out, you know, it's just a matter of how long more we're going to deal with it. But on the digital side, I just want to ask a question on, you guys didn't see anything, I didn't see anything on Instagram or maybe Twitter and stuff like that, And those are the stuff that I think, let's put it this way, I really think our marketing group should really watch those very carefully. And some of them, as you know, are going to grow. Some of them are going to die by nature. So it's important that we're there as a marketing. And if you, of course, see something that doesn't work, you know, cross it off. But
to promote the look and the feel of Morro Bay. So far, so good.
Hello. So what we're doing right now is we are posting daily to Facebook and Twitter and multiple times per week on Instagram. Facebook is still the dominant social network, especially for the travel industry. It's a great way to show off what's happening in your city as well as, you know, beautiful pictures, things like that, and get people engaged. So that's what we want to do. Our goal is to get as many people interested in Morro Bay and talking about it and being excited about it and basically becoming a part of Morro Bay. They think of Morro Bay as a friend. As someone they want to interact with. So that is what we're doing by posting all the time on these various social networks. Instagram, like you're saying, is the number one growing form of media, especially for the tourism industry. It makes complete sense because it is a place to show off beautiful photos. And Morro Bay has the best goods to work with, personally, which is pretty fun for us to use on Instagram. So we have become more and more active on Instagram. And as we grow more active and we'll develop more and more loyal customers and fans of Morro Bay, the part of Instagram, the way that you want to do it, is by interacting with other people, by looking up people that are taking pictures of Morro Bay and commenting on those pictures and liking those pictures and sharing those pictures. It's very important because when a brand, as Morro Bay is interacting and saying, hey, you have a great picture, they're that much, you know, more able to be loyal to that brand. Contests are a number one source of engagement across all social media platforms. They're a great way to gain new fans and followers and to drive the message of the brand to the people. We've hosted a few contests in August. They were very successful. They put engagement rates in between 14 and 20% for those particular posts, which is great because the average Facebook engagement rate is 2 to 3%. So when you look at 20%, that's pretty amazing, especially for a tourism site. Facebook algorithms are constantly changing, which is why we recommend sharing photos with every post. As of right now, Facebook is actually kind of switching the algorithm a little bit, and photos and native links are becoming the number one thing that will show up on someone's newsfeed. So that's why we post a photo or a native link with every single post, just to ensure that many more people will see the post. They also make tweets stand out on Twitter. When you're scrolling through a Twitter newsfeed, you know, just words, 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 picture, beautiful Morro Bay. So that increases engagement. People are more likely to retweet or reply and engage with the post. And that leads to interaction within engaging followers and fans on all the platforms. Interaction is the number one most important thing you can do on social media. It makes people feel like they're part of the brand. They see the brand as a living organism, one that cares about them and values their thoughts and opinions. So when you take that relationship to a further level by interacting with them, they're that much more likely to stay, intact with the brand. They want to be a part of it. They want to see it succeed. So that's basically what we've been doing with the social media strategy, and we are going to develop that further and further. I would like to see more Instagram posts. I would like to see more on Pinterest in the coming, you know, months and year or whatnot. So do you have any questions?
I just wanted to piggyback on one of the new things with this team versus the previous marketing agency is that they actually put together a calendar of what is going to be posted for the month. Now, granted, there's also flexibility with that. With the previous company that we were working with, I didn't really know what they were posting. They just posted. So, I mean, in this case, it's a little bit more strategic as far as like how we post, what we post. We also take a look at different days of the week and how we're posting. For example, one of the things that is different from the previous company to this company is that when we're posting about a certain special, like a hotel special, we're trying to do that not right away at the first part of the week, but at least by Wednesday of that week. So that way, you know, purchase behavior can actually happen versus trying to do that on a Friday or Saturday, right? Because by that time people have made their plans. So there's really just a lot of new strategy that's actually happening with social media. And we're kind of excited about working with them on our new promotional calendar, which I'll talk about in a little bit, as well as the Engage the Rock promotion,
yes,
which Jamie was, you know, we had a little powwow on that. So we have some new highlights on that coming up.
Definitely. Is there any other questions?
Yeah, I have a question. Jamie, right?
Yes.
Okay. You know, what I've noticed
at this point, probably Google+, Twitter, and Facebook. Instagram is coming up with something. I think there'll probably be something developed in the next year or so. It's not happening at this moment. But yeah, as we use one of those platforms right now.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yes.
So if you're using a platform and you're using that platform with your calendar, is it easy to just change that at the last minute?
Oh, definitely.
Since you're trying to strategize?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Definitely.
All right. It's Jamie, right?
Yes.
Jamie, one quick thing to jump off of there's a million Morro Bay pages, since, you know, I don't know why there's a million Morro Bay.
Because
we don't have a million
people
living
here. Anyone can open a Facebook page. Yes.
I know. Well, who doesn't want to talk about Morro Bay, right?
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, what's not great to talk about? So, but there's Morro Bay is 50 this year, and mm-hmm. I help administer the page. I don't totally administer it. It's not my deal. I just occasionally post on there. But people send photos all the time to it, like constantly.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
And some beautiful photos.
Definitely.
I mean, there was one that just landed last night. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's incredible. And I'm sure that we can work together to get permission from all those people for you to use those photos and populate.
So
why don't
yeah.
we connect and I can connect? And also the Historical Society.
Yeah.
I know Brent knows everyone at the Historical Society, but a lot of pictures have been posted that we've shared with them that we could probably, I don't know if that's of interest to you, that
oh,
we
definitely.
Could share the old, like, abalone
Throwback
divers
Thursday.
Here.
It's just perfect.
Very cool
yeah.
stuff. But going back to, I know that there's going to be some conversation about the website at some point here, I think. We're talking about looking at how the website's going to look in our future. And I know there's there's platforms like Jane was talking about that when you populate your website, then it goes out and it populates all your social media so that you have the same kind of branded look. When you're doing all these different sites, are you, and I don't know because I don't follow on Instagram and all that stuff. I follow your Facebook.
Right.
But are you populating with the same message every time, or do you do different things on the different ones? That was
you know,
just
it depends. Obviously, you only have a certain amount of characters for Twitter.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
you have
right.
160 characters to work with. So sometimes the message that you're putting on Facebook is not going to fit on Twitter, and you want to put in different hashtags, things like that. And same with Instagram. In Instagram, it's kind of a no-no in the Instagram world to put links on your posts. They don't like it. It's not like that you can't do it, but people just don't like it and they don't respond to it. So I'll take out links and things like that. But yeah, the messaging across all three platforms right now are pretty much the same. Like the pictures that we're sharing are the same, but it's just said and tweaked in a slightly different way
okay. That's
right for that platform.
All right. I was curious about that, whether you were doing different things to how you were building a media frenzy.
Definitely.
And that's actually the perfect segue into our creative concept that we'll be talking about, the Morro Bay Way, which I know you saw from our initial presentation that got emailed out, and we've been rolling out a little bit. But when we, and actually it was interesting mentioning the photos as well, because when we first started coming up with a campaign idea for how to advertise and how to show people Morro Bay, there's a ton of local photographers that take amazing photos of Morro Bay. So we went out there and saw what people are doing, what kind of images people were sharing, and how those images were different from other areas in the community. And we've made connections with a lot of those photographers, which is amazing to get those photos to use on all those social media platforms in our ads. And a lot of them are giving them to us for free because they love Morro Bay too and they want to share those images. And we're just doing a little help out here and there, sharing a link to their website with the beautiful images on Facebook every once in a while. And then some of them are selling them to us at a discounted rate, which is so much more cost-effective than trying to send a photographer out to do a big, long shoot or trying to purchase stock photos of Morro Bay, which, of course, there's not that many that exist. So our creative concept, the Morro Bay Way, came from knowing that Morro Bay is a little bit different than all the other beach towns in this community. It's different than everywhere else on the Central Coast. You have your own way of doing things. So we thought, hey, let's call it the Morro Bay Way. So I'm going to show you some of our digital ads that we'll be implementing. And when we were coming up with these, again, we looked at the images to see what was compelling and looked at different factors that drive people to like Morro Bay: the food, the beautiful scenery, the wildlife, the fun family activities. And we've put together concepts that can be digital ads, print ads, Facebook cover photos, images that are shared on Instagram. And we really see it as one big cohesive campaign: slider images on your website, so that we're maximizing those efforts, putting the same visuals out everywhere, putting them in the visitor's guide that people pick up when they actually come to Morro Bay, so they really get a feel for the Morro Bay Way, your website, and get more people to book vacations. Here's an example of how we would implement that campaign on your website. You know, we love the rush hour also. Could be with the wildlife, showing the seals, and then suit up the Morro Bay Way with a father-son going out on a little surfing adventure. So those were the examples of the campaign that we have to show you. I don't know if anyone has any questions about it, but this is the end of our presentation. So any questions on the creative or anything at all, we'll be happy to answer them.
Well, I just want to also add, you know, there are certain things in Morro Bay that we need to really promote. I mean, beaches, half of people come here, they don't even know we have a beach. It's funny, but they think there's a rock there, but they say, where's your beach? You know, and we have 30 miles of beach.
Yeah.
Then the kayak is great in this mm-hmm. area.
Stand-up paddle boarding is getting
bicycle
really
is great. I mean, I'm a biker mm-hmm. myself, but it's something that really need to be promoted. I wish we had a lot more bike path in the city, which we don't, but that's a separate issue. We'll get in there, right. But those are the particular ones that at least I know. I'm sure there's a lot more. But I think we need to go in those sites. And there are a group out there, especially bike. You know, there's a mm-hmm. big group out there. We should be promoting on those areas as well.
Yeah, and bicycle tourism. I mean, and that's something that Lisa was saying as well. What's so great about Facebook advertising and other digital ads, we can target people that we know are interested in those things. And then gathering those images, again, has been a challenge. But as we find those good ones, just one of the Morro Bay photographers just took some amazing photos of stand-up paddleboarding, and there was someone with, like, their dog on the front of the paddleboard. And I'm like, that's so the Morro Bay Way. That's a wonderful image, and that's unique. That's what makes people want to come here. So I completely agree, and we're open to that, and we love promoting all those special things about Morro Bay. And duly noted about the beaches. How could people not know that you have such a fabulous beach?
The nice thing about also working with this team and doing a lot more of the digital ads is that if we're finding that some of them are not performing, mm-hmm. pull it, and we change it, and we tweak it, and we continue to evaluate those things. And that's what I really like about, you know, how we can work with the creative, because in just when I worked for the National Academy of Sports Medicine, it was always amazing to us on the ads that we thought that would be successful and would perform better. And the ones that we didn't think that would perform as well, or it's just a little bit of the wording, and sometimes it's the photo, and you just have to continue to tweak it until it's actually performing at the top level.
Yeah, definitely. Any other questions?
No, just if you're going to promote the beaches, we need to make sure that the showers are turned on at the rock. Because people are sandy, and they haven't been turned on all summer. So.
And I actually wanted to mention one other quick thing. Joni mentioned about the website, and I just wanted to address it too. We are working directly with Brent in looking at the updates to the website, how we're going to fully implement, but we wanted this feedback and have this opportunity to meet with you today to show the concept of the Morro Bay Way. And once we have all of those materials complete, I think we're going to really see that full implementation, and you're going to see it everywhere, and we'll have those website changes and things updated. So it is a big part of our plan.
Is there a way on our, and I'm sure that there is on our Facebook page, I would have to drill down and look at it, but not only on Facebook, I know you can post to a Facebook page, but is there a way on our website, and I'm not sure that there is, that we can have people submit photos to us? Because I know, like, you know, one of us will take a walk in the morning and there's going to be somebody landing fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's come over for fish in Morro Bay. I mean, it's funny, I used to, when I first moved here, get people calling to the hotel. I'd answer the phone and they'd say, you know, is the fish on the bite? Are the boats going out? Can I get on a charter boat? And we did a package. We were like the second hotel in Morro Bay to do a package with the charter boats to go out. Now, people call and they say, what's the fresh fish?
Mm-hmm.
So they're asking the hotel, what's the fresh fish at the restaurants? I'm like, well, you know, I was just down there and they had sand dabs, or mm-hmm. they had rock cod, or, you know, are they catching rock cod? Are they landing salmon? Is tuna in? Those are the kinds of questions we get at the front desks now. And so if there's people out there like a restaurant owner who's buying fish who can snap a photo with their phone and get it to you for a posting or something.
Yeah,
for
absolutely.
Our tourism partners, maybe there's a way we can, I don't know, but maybe there's a way we can develop that to make it very easy for everyone.
That would be amazing.
And I think building those partnerships is always something that we look at. We like to reach out to other folks and other businesses that have the opportunity that are out there, you know, doing that fisherman that can snap those photos and build those partnerships so they know, okay, great, I've shot this photo. I'm going to send it to Brent, and then it'll, you know, be sent to us. Or maybe there's a hashtag. I know we're working on a hashtag campaign, too, where it automatically links to what we're doing. So there's a lot of different ways that we...
So what great way to get folks over here.
And this is exactly how we work as a team, where what Alex had asked before about, are we promoting the beach? Are we promoting the bicycle paths? What will happen is we'll get a great picture through social media. It'll go to creative. So we'll get a great picture through the social media campaign, and it'll go from Jamie, and Megan will say, there's a great idea. Let's change up the imagery in the ad. It'll come to me. I will put some key words into it, and suddenly I'm going to be sending that out to people that bike or kayakers. So that's the way our team works, where we take every opportunity for new information and we turn it as creatively and as quickly as we can into hitting one of those targets for you.
Great. Any more questions or comments?
You know, I just want to comment. I think that'd be really cool to get some kind of widget. I know, like, at our hotel, we did a photo contest, and, you know, I had all these great photos, and I think I told Nick, oh, send those over to Brent, but it'd be nice if he could just upload it, and, you know, like, if you're down at the festival, hey, live shot at the festival, and then that gives you guys, because there's a lot of people that are passionate about Morro Bay and a lot of, you know, the underlying frontline staff that are out doing things, but they get this information and it goes on my Facebook page, but it'd be cool if it could go on, you know, the Morro Bay Facebook, and that's kind of that Morro Bay way. Mm-hmm. You've got all of those people advertising for you. Sharers, yeah. Yes, for sharers.
Jamie, what we can do is, because we have the WooFoo form, we've been using that, we can actually include that onto the website, and it can be emailed to myself as well as you and Megan, so
yeah,
that way
that
it'd
be
an easy.
Because we do want to be able to monitor the photos before they're posted, because people are people. So yeah, anything,
right.
Yeah.
And make sure that they're not pirated.
Exactly.
And in the meantime, though, if any of you do have somebody post something to your personal page or your business page, let us know, because we can share it on the Morro Bay page. And that would be a really easy way to just pull that same thing over. We don't have to worry about, you know, it's somebody posted it on your page, so it's still getting credit to your page if that's where it was posted. So that's a really great way to do that as well.
So do you want us to share it to the Morro Bay Facebook page? Do you want us to share it to Verdin's page? How do you want us to share it? Because that's actually mm-hmm. what you just said. That's key for a lot of the hotels and the restaurants, because we all have Facebook pages. We're collecting. I mean, Mark Tognazzini down there has like 50,201 Facebook followers, you know, so he gets stuff posted to his page all the time. So if we can, but maybe we can have you work, Mary, with Brent and put together a plan on actually how to do that, and then we can get it out with Brent's next newsletter to the hotels. I think, trying to wing it here today isn't going to work, but to put together a concise plan would be probably
make
best
it really
for everyone.
Easy. Here's how you do it, rather than
step
people
by step,
having to figure it out.
Yeah.
Good
idea.
No, that's good idea, Joan. Nice idea.
Well, any other questions before we sign off here?
Just one question. Well, thank you for all showing up and girl power, you know. One more thing. Are you guys going to be, or is Brent, or, you know, maybe you already talked to them, are they going to be reporting to us on a monthly basis or every meeting we have? Is that going to be part of your goal?
They won't be present at every meeting, but they are going to be supplying a report every month, and then quarterly we will actually have them come.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. So thank you again. It was great to get to be here and see you all in person and get to chat with you a little bit. We are going to excuse ourselves now because we have to get back to the office and do a bunch of stuff for Morro Bay. So, but, you know, we will be in daily communication with Brent, and you'll be hearing lots more from us, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the next meeting that we come to.
Before you go, Mary, thank you very much, but I do see one member of the audience, so just in case they want to make do you want to make public comment, Ed, on the marketing report, on their marketing plan at all?
Well, I came this morning. My Ahmed Krovitz, by the way, from Morro Bay, and I am an employee of the Visitor Center, and I enjoy my job very much. I came today specifically to see the presentation, and I am very glad to see the creative and to meet all of you nice people from Verdon Marketing. I'm sure it's going to expand much more, and it's a great foundation, and I know they're going to build over this next year. You guys are going to be very happy with it. Thank you.
Thanks, Ed, for your positive comments.
That's very nice, Ed.
I think, Mary, we have one more public comment here.
Nancy Castle, Morro Bay native and community artist. The cyber stalking issue that was brought up. Recently, one of my favorite bands put out a new CD, and I go on YouTube a lot, and it has popped up so much that I am so pissed off that I don't want to buy the DVD now or the CD now. And I'd like to be sure that you're careful that that doesn't happen. Because if people see so many things, and the pop-ups are the things that drive me crazy. I mean, a picture in the corner, that's great. That's a reminder. So just a word of experience currently of a reaction, because I would hate to have people see something so often that they go, well, I'm not going to stay in Morro Bay. I'll go somewhere else. So.
Thanks for that, Nancy. I think you're talking about exposure versus overexposure.
So. You know, can I just say also, while we were having this presentation, I jumped over to morrobay.org, and I brought up the digital version. I hope I'm not jumping the gun here, but the digital version of our visitor guide. And if anybody's curious about how the creative looks, if you go on that page and look at some of the pictures, and it's just incredible. So I would encourage people to look at that digital version of Visitor's Guide. Splendid. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
thanks to your team for coming out and all of you to introduce yourselves to us. And you're welcome back anytime.
Thrift, vintage, antique shopping. We have a lot of that here in Morro Bay, and we definitely wanted to capitalize on that versus trying to avoid not having that here in Morro Bay, and there's a lot of great partners that we have out there. So part of what we're doing right now is that they are pitching to different journalists to come in to do a recycled holidays. We are going to be providing them with a budget so they can actually do their holiday shopping at the thrift, antique, and vintage stores. But included with that is making that a whole vacation for the whole family. So there's going to be some updates from the PR agency yet this month on the status of that. We have a really spectacular blogger that has over 331,000 followers on Facebook, has great engagement, so they are reaching out they're reaching out to her at this point in time. There's also a magazine from the Bay Area that's interested in coming and doing a whole family spin on that one. So we're very excited about working with that. They're also working in conjunction with both teams on weddings, and we're going to be doing a promotion called Engage the Rock, and I'll get into that in just a little bit. But essentially what we did is that I talked to the PR agency, and I really wanted them to focus in on the low season or shoulder season to be able to drive traffic, you know, on a more short-term basis here to Morro Bay. I know that a big focus that they had was during the summer months, which is great, but we're really busy during the summer months, so we really wanted to have more of a focus on trying to bring in those travelers at the times that we needed it. So if there's any questions, individual questions specifically on the PR plan, we can definitely talk about that. I can answer some of those questions. Otherwise, what I wanted to do is to reach out to you guys to find out if you want to have mental marketing come in October to talk a little bit about the PR plan and just kind of give an update on that. But I wanted to reach out to you guys.
I think we've really successful to grow, and I love that. But the thing that my concern has always been, what do we do in the wintertime? You know, we still need to focus on that. I think that's really where we gonna grow our business. Like we just talked about it, John was mentioning about, you know, we're all full and the people are going to the houses because there's nowhere else to stay. So summer we do wonderful, and I'm glad we can increase the rates and so forth. But, you know, starting next month, maybe November, actually, we're just going to be struggling all the way to April. And that's really what we need to focus. So anything we can do there that helps, the whole hotels, I think, is great.
Right, and that's essentially what I gave direction to our agencies to really focus in on the low season. We do need to drive traffic during those times as well as midweek. Yeah. That's really a big goal because we don't want that to happen, Alex, as far as like from November through April for you to be extremely slow. So that's our goal and our job to be able to try to bring in more traffic. The other part of that, too, is that what Ferdin actually presented today isn't really completely the full picture, because there are some bureau-directed promotions and advertising and marketing that we're doing. So go ahead, Joan.
Well, I was going to say, let's take a look at what's going to be on the October agendas. Let me just remind the board, I would love to pack the agenda, but don't forget that we also have our quarterly T-bid meeting on October, and we'll also be holding a special meeting, a closed session meeting for Brent's coming up on 6 months, and October is the time when we have a evaluation of the first 6 months, and so we will be having a few meetings. Sorry, Brent, to put you on the
where
spot
is the,
there.
Where is the ominous organ music when you need it? It's like,
well, it'll be closer to Halloween then. I'll get out my screaming CD that scares all the little kids. In any case, we're going to be having quite a few. It's going to be a very impacted month. I think it might be good to look, Brent. Maybe we can sit down, look, and see if we can get it, squeeze it in October. An overview of what the bureau-directed marketing is, coupled with the PR campaign, and see if we can get that on the agenda in October, along with everything else that we have to get. We'll see how it falls.
There's actually a little bit that I'm covering today, Joan.
Yeah.
As far as the other things that we're doing is we're going to be producing some commercials, so there'll be some opportunities for lodging to participate within that and the rest of the business community. So some exciting things as far as some of the midweek promotions that we are planning on doing is we do want to try to focus in on the Sunday through Thursday, trying to drive more business from that short-term traveler that we're just going to try to help influence more travel during the week by telling them what can they do Sunday through Thursday. I know. There's a lot to do here in Morro Bay. We're also, as far as special promotions, we're partnering with Reserve Events and Destinations, and we're doing a harbor and oyster tours Thursdays through the month of October. One of the areas that I see as a great opportunity is that, you know, Friday, Saturday are usually the biggest days for lodging. So how can we need to try to creep into the Thursday market. So we are partnering with Giovanni's as well as one of the boat tour companies, and we're offering these tours as a way in how to encourage more people to come on Thursdays. As far as moving on, October through February, we're going to be doing the Engage the Rock promotion. This actually ties into the wedding market, as well as the engagement and or re-engagement. And so essentially, we're going to be doing a promotion on the web as well as in digital and social media to have couples to take a picture of their engagement with a rock behind them, tell us the story about their engagement or the way that they met. This is going to be a voting. We're going to be having individual contests in October, November, and December. And then we're going to have a final contest of those three winners that will actually be announced on Valentine's Day in February. So this is going to be a great way for us to not only to have social engagement, but also to be able to gain leads on different business, because we do want to capture some of their information on when they're getting married, where they're getting married, are they going to be having an engagement parties, you know, are they going to have, you know, bachelor parties or bachelorette or groom's dinners, etc. So we're going to be able to try to capture some of that business, and hopefully a lot of that will be overnight business. November, December, we're going to be focusing on the recycled holidays, again, capitalizing on the spectacular antique thrift and vintage shops that we have here in Morro Bay to try to bring in more business, try to get people to come in and shop and look at Morro Bay a little bit differently. And then also for some of the monthly promotions, we're looking at focusing October on the Fall Festival Getaways. November, obviously, is going to be the Surfboard Art Festival, so we're going to be focusing in on an art immersion getaways here in Morro Bay. And December, this was actually a really great idea from Jasmine. She's like, holidays, families, why don't we focus in on the family in December? So we're really going to be trying to bring in the families together for the holidays in Morro Bay. So, Nancy, can I get the clicker from you? It'll just be easier. Thank you. Yep, it does. Thank you very much. As you can see, I'm just going to like run through, you know, I'm not going to go over the stats specifically because I know you've received those, but we have seen a higher increase. Just a note on this page, the number of visitors for the visitor center has actually gone up to 1,924 visitors. Moving on, I really could not be successful. We're going into a really, really busy season right now, and the Bureau is slamming, right, Jasmine? And I really couldn't stay sane without the staff, without Jasmine and Sharon and the Visitor Center staff. All of them have really come together in helping out. We are helping and working with a number of different groups. As you can see, Jasmine's plate has been very full since she started. What has it been, a month and a half now, Jasmine? Somewhere around there? Updating the website on a regular basis. We are in the process of finishing off the midweek promotions. We'll go into a little bit more detail on that. We have the Bear Weekend coming up in November. We are working with the Pirates Classic, which is a local soccer tournament that's going to be happening for the first time in January. She's helped with ordering a lot of the promotional items for upcoming shows, etc., and groups, visitor guide distribution, as well as helping me get organized in the office. Sharon has actually been gone on a few trips, so her list is a little short, but when she's here, she's always hits the ground running, again, kind of assisting with some of the promotions and the groups that have been here. A big thing to note is that really, really pleased with the blossoming partnership with the Morro Bay Recreation and Parks, or Parks and Recreation, is it Recreation and Parks? Yes. They are reaching out to us when they have groups. We're working with them on, you know, trying to increase the hospitality and making sure that those groups are staying here in Morro Bay versus somewhere else. So thank you. Thank you, City. As far as like visitor reviews, director had actually signed up for travelinformation.com is in progress. We've been seeing inquiries coming in on that and some great downloads as far as like looking at our visitor guide. TripAdvisor.com is still in progress. We can't, you know, ad-wise, as you know, with Verdin, they had explained that because we're kind of in that transitional time, we're going to be launching the new ad creative in the month of November. The fall eye brochure is completed and launching on the 15th of September. We are going to see about $2,500 in alternative revenue, which, as you know, our goal is $10,000. We are expected to see between 1,000 to 1,500 inquiries come in. This is information that we can use. Email addresses, mailing addresses, we can use this information for the future. But this is a way in how we're going to be expanding our reach outside of California. So I'm very, very excited to see what the turnout on that is and the stats, and I'll be reporting that as we go along. The marketing implementation schedule, you received that from Verdin, is complete, and the 2014 promotional calendar is also complete. As you can see here, I'm not going to go through, but public relations calendar and plan is complete. You all received a copy of that. Here's just some of the media that we've seen in the month of August. Outreach, I'm not going to go through too much of this. You can see the different percentages as far as like opens for the stakeholder e-newsletter as well as the monthly consumer e-newsletter. You know, we are seeing kind of a fluctuation, but it's basically staying around the same. One of the things that we need to do as far as like consumer, you know, once I'm actually in the midst of my surgery and doing some recovery, I am going to be going through the constant contact list, and I will be purging the names of the people who are on the list who haven't been opening or responding to our consumer emails. It doesn't pay to have them be a part of that if in the last 6 months that they haven't been reading that. So moving on, reserve events and destinations, that's who we're partnering with the Harbor and Oyster Tours. The Mission Tix online system and kiosk is complete. The kiosk will be arriving in October. As you can see, some of the other things are in progress or completed. I do have to say thank you to Barry Rands as well as some of the other folks that are helping with the bike map. We are looking at some changes with the bike map in 2015. We did have to do a reprint of that. The next round that we're going to be doing is making sure that the hotels and motels are actually on that specific map. Still waiting to hear back from Hearst Castle. They're still in process. They haven't decided on what type of program that they're going to be doing with DMOs. And I heard back from California Men's Colony. They will not list Morro Bay on their list of lodging. Moving on, what's coming up? This is actually the more of the exciting thing. And as you can see, our office has been very, very busy, but in a good way. So what's coming up? We are sharing a booth with the Chamber of Commerce for the Avocado and Margarita Festival. I am going to be exhibiting at the Fresno Women's Expo on Tuesday of next week. As a part of that, I'm also doing a sales mission. I have a lunch meeting with tour companies in Fresno. There's actually three tour companies that I'm going to be meeting with, as well as the Golden State Bears, and that's a group that we're having come in November. So I'm going to be meeting with them on Monday night. Pretty much one of the plans that I have for any of the travel that I do, we do have to maximize that and capitalize on being in different areas. And that's actually reaching out to potential companies and organizations that would bring travel here to Morro Bay. So that's always going to be a part of my process. We have a new promotional email that is going to be going out mid-September. All of the specials that people had submitted for the upcoming shows will be mimicked in the email blast. We do have a separate list for that, and so we're looking at trying to grow that list to get people to be thinking about, you know, what type of promotional things that are happening here in Morro Bay. So we're hoping to be able to bring in a lot more of that last-minute business. City Council has requested a presentation from the Bureau to talk about the conservation efforts of the Morro Bay lodging community. There's a lot of residents that are concerned and about the hotels, motels not conserving water and energy. And when I talked with Noah Smuckler as well as Christine Johnson, I did notify them that through my listening sessions and tours that a lot of the hoteliers they have a lot of green efforts that are going on. And I do want to thank Carrie as well as Jasmine for doing phone surveys with the rest of the lodging that we haven't heard from. Right now we have 23 out of the 30 today. Very, very impressed. We have had some great results and great feedback as far as like trying to work with the local businesses to help drive more overnight business during the midweek. And so more will come on that. We're going to be reporting to all of the lodging community on what's going to be happening with that. Plus, we're going to be creating a special webpage on the morrobay.org website. I know, there's a lot going on. So we're just really, really excited, and we're going to be really evaluating to see if that's driving more of that midweek business. But it also provides a great opportunity for the lodging community to also kind of take advantage of this whole theme. This isn't going to be something that's going to be proprietary to the Bureau, so if any lodging properties want to do a Sunset Sunday or a Fun Day Monday or a $10 Tuesday, Wildside Wednesday, which, Jane, I know you're going to do Wednesday. I just know it. Or doing a Throwback Thursday. It's really going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to be engaging a lot of people on social media as well. I was able to attain a great list of state travel program coordinators. This is throughout the state of California. I have approximately 300 email addresses of the state travel coordinators. This would be with any state business. If they're coming to San Luis Obispo County, we're going to be reaching out to that audience to make sure that they know that Morro Bay exists and that they can use Morro Bay as an option for their overnight lodging. So I'm very, very excited about that. We will have the official launch of the Mission Ticketing Program September, October. It's going to be a soft launch in September and more of an official launch in October. And see, there's actually a second page of what's coming up, too. Aren't you impressed? We are having a booth at the Harbor Festival. We are luckily, we are reaching out to a lot of the partners on promoting different events and upcoming events. We're also, I know Jasmine had just attended the Merchants Association meeting the other day, and we're looking at partnering with a lot of the local groups. So that way we don't have to specifically try to staff the booth on our own. We are going to be doing the Harbor and Oyster Tour. Sorry, for some reason it didn't do a hard return there. Thursday through the month of October. I'm very excited about that. We do have a media person that's going to be coming in, and she is going to be partaking in the second week, and so we're going to be getting some great media coverage on that. Marcy Marks is coming in on the 8th and 9th. She's going to be covering the Oyster Tours as well as the Surfboard Art Festival, so that's going to be exciting for Morro Bay. We are going to be exhibiting at the Modesto Women's Expo, and I'll be doing a sales mission in conjunction with that. The show is actually on the 18th, and I will be doing some sales calls and a part of the sales mission on the 17th. The Civitas presentation with John Lambeth, we did confirm him for October 21st. Location and time, I'm still waiting to hear back from the city on that, so more to come on that one. I talked a little bit about the Engage the Rock promotion, but that'll be mid-October through February of 2015. And then we do have a promotion that we're going to be doing in the Central Valley, doing a test with Every Door Direct Mail. This is a direct mail program that we're going to be reaching out to 5,000 people in the Bakersfield as well as the Fresno area. So more to come on that. We want to highlight some of the events that they can do coming in. And then Bears Weekend, reaching out more to the GLBT market to try to bring them in during the low season or shoulder season, and they are scheduled for November 7th through the 9th. And I cannot thank Jasmine enough for helping with creating that itinerary and working with a lot of our business partners on that. So now we just need to bring the big boys in. And then Pirates Classic is coming up January 1st through the 3rd. And just as a reminder to all of you, I will be out. My surgery is scheduled for September 30th, and I will be out the 30th through the 3rd. I'll still be available via email, but if the don't expect a really quick like return time. So hopefully after that, my pain will be gone. So from that, I do thank you for going through all of these slides. The last thing specifically on my list is that I would love to try to have the city to be a little bit more engaged within the meetings here, and I know I spoke with Joan as well as Jane. We do have a city liaison, Christine Johnson, and that's something that I would like to see, if not on a monthly or maybe even on a quarterly basis, that they come in and do a city report, and then to be able to answer any questions, you know, pertaining to TOT, and then also on a budgeting standpoint, or if there's if there are things that that's going on with the city that, you know, connects closely with the Tourism Bureau. So just would like some feedback from the board on that. On
board art, is there, I don't know what the tight turnaround is, but another tour that's really super highly popular with the media is to do an avocado farm tour. And the Shanleys have always opened up their ranch or the Coys and readily promote Morro Bay Avocados, which is its own brand, as you know. So that might be a throw-in, but I don't know. And
the concern that I have with that, Joan, is that they're
dormant.
They've completely cut down and
they're dormant.
Right.
But they can.
There could be a real positive spin on that, though, too, as far as like
absolutely.
The green efforts, because I do give them a lot of credit for, you know, taking down a good majority of their avocado trees to help conserve water. That's to be commended. I mean, they should be, you know, if there's an award out there, I just, every time I drive past there, it's very sad, but I think that it's very admirable at the same time.
I agree. They've taken down a lot of their fields to conserve, and they do have some avocados left, and part of, you know, the interest in that would be explaining the process, I think. But, you know, it's up to however that works and what the interest is. And then I do want to point out, this is extremely important for the community. The John Lambeth Tourism Bureau-sponsored workshop on how assessment districts work, the law behind assessment districts, their function, and their purview is scheduled for Tuesday, October 21st. That is a save the date for Tuesday, October 21st. I cannot be more clear. If you are in the public, in the tourism industry, if you've wondered how that TBID works, what is that TBID, this is the time to get your questions answered by the premier expert on TBIDs in probably the nation, but definitely our state, which is John Lambeth, who helped form our TBID here. So, again, Tuesday, October 21st, and we don't have the exact time or location, but that will be forthcoming. If you want more information, contact Brent at Brent@morrobay.org. See, I can remember
you
that.
You got it.
Brent@morrobay.org. Okay, so, and he will get you more information on that. But thank you very much, and I am open to have the city liaison personally come in once a month or once a quarter or whatever works for the city as well, if they have interest in that at all. And, you know, I would just sit back and let the board make that decision. So,
okay. A couple of things. We did that ad in the Chronicle. How was the return on that ad?
You know what? I am getting the last of the report, because as a part of the Chronicle, there was also an online component, and Chronicle we're not finished with that as of yet because of the number of impressions that we'd received on that. So that's something that will be reported, Jane, at the October meeting.
Perfect. And then the next thing is John Myers brought up something that I think was fabulous, which was, I would also, when you do talk to Christine, I would like to know what the city accountability is for the increase in the TOT over budget. I think that we need that report. I think that that Christine, as our liaison, needs to bring that back to the city and either through you or whatever, get a response from the city. I think there's accountability on both parts. So I would like that to happen.
Noted. Thank you, Jane.
If you were watching till 12:45 on the night of budget hearings, Slayton basically stated that our overages made up for other shortfalls in other revenue sources. But I do think you're right. There should be some accountability.
Well, I'd like to know what.
What shorts fell off? Is that what you want
to know? Whose shorts are we paying for is what I want to know.
Thank you, Brent, for a great report.
Just one comment.
Clean underwear. Whose underwear do we have to clean?
You have a couple of things you mentioned here, which I really like that you've done, is the Cuesta College, and also you went to Man's Colony. You said that you didn't get any response on that, but what is, you know, I think the sporting events on the winter time, there's a lot of activity in, you know, in Cuesta as well as Cal Poly. What is chances we get some of that business?
Well, I can speak on the Cal Poly. Cal Poly, we don't have the opportunity because we would have to do it in a more indirect way than a direct way because right now the slow T-bid actually they have an exclusive contract and agreement with Cal Poly for sports, for all the sports. With a lot of sports teams, they are going to require those blocks to happen. So maybe it's really a matter of like asking that question as being a lodging property. You know, how are some ways in how the Bureau can actually overcome that, Alex? Do you have any suggestions?
Well, I think education is a key. Plus, we haven't done this in past, so it's going to be a new for a lot of hotels seeing that's happening. Because, you know, you can block a bunch of rooms and then nothing happens and then you lose business on the other side. So I know Morro Bay High School, for example, when they have events and we get tons of people in town and a lot of hotels get sold out. So having, you know, that as an example, if we can get some great commitment with Cuesta, for example, then I think once this thing gets rolling and materialized, I think then you're going to see a lot more hotels want to jump on it.
Right. I do know on a high school standpoint, we don't actually get a lot of the teams. A lot of the teams do stay in other cities because, you know, with having larger properties. So on the high school standpoint, I think we're getting a lot more of the spectator type of business. But if we work with Cuesta, we're really going to have to try to figure out how we're going to work with the teams, because that's essentially where we know when they're booking business, we have more of a guaranteed than just, you know, just spectators, because then we don't really know as far as like the numbers and the expectations. Okay. But good point as far as that, Alex. I think education really does go a long way.
I think education, you're right, and setting it up, a lot of the smaller hoteliers don't understand how room blocks work and that 3 weeks out they can release the rooms, so it's a follow-up process too. If they've lost business, it's because they didn't release the rooms and it was too tight of a booking window that they realized, oh, I've had these rooms held. So, you know, then they didn't sell out that week or whatever. I think the high school and the Cuesta sports business is very, very good for Morro Bay because it is midweek business. I understand some sports teams and some school districts' reluctance to stay in Morro Bay in terms of the fact that we don't have a large number of rooms with interior corridors, and with female sports teams, they specifically request a lot of times interior corridors, which is a secondary security measure. So I can, you know, I can understand that. But we do have opportunity out there, and I think, you know, we need to knock where that opportunity is. So I appreciate your tenacity. I think some of it is tenacity to, you know, hammer over and over and over again that this is good, 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 and then boom, the light bulb clicks on. So thank you for that, and just grind away at it, and we'll get it done.
You know, one comment, too, pigging onto what you said, an opportunity that could be an indirect way is, and it would be more of a marketing to get the name to show that Morro Bay is a good place, is a lot of places, all the sports, whether they're down to Little League, all the way up. I just had Cal Poly in my office this last week. They're looking for overnight getaways, and they're looking for fundraising. And so if you can maybe then get your name out to those fundraising events, then they come in and they see, oh, Morro Bay does have interior corridored properties. Morro Bay does have places that could house it. That might be another indirect way maybe the Bureau could step in and, you know, help or get information. I just know this last week I've had two different fundraisers come to me for overnight stay getaways, and it can also not be local. I get some that are, you know, they're over in, you know, Fresno or Bakersfield, and they're wanting an overnight stay to promote a basket in Morro Bay. So it might be just a way to kind of get in indirectly, and it might, you know, out there hoteliers, if they come to you, maybe, you know, give a free night stay. You can put restrictions. They don't mind the restrictions on those silent auction items. I do Sunday through Thursday, non-holiday, all the time. Like she says, you lose the tax on it when they come in, but, you know, for, you know, a few bucks, you're still getting your name out there and getting that promotion. So that might be another opportunity just indirectly to do that. I think part of it is just getting people to know and educating the hoteliers, because I do think Morro Bay can house a lot of this. It's just getting everybody to understand that. So just piggy on.
Okay, any other comments for Brent, and any comments on the city?
Great report, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. Awesome.
City liaison? City-wise,
yeah.
Are there any comments on city liaison here? Would everybody be willing to have a city liaison join us? I think it might be good for – I think it's a great idea. So is everybody in consensus that that's a good idea? Let's see head shakes.
Yeah, well, we do – it seems like this is one of the few times that I haven't seen Christine here.
Right.
So,
yeah,
but
I agree.
I'm not sure if they – but I don't – you know, I don't know. Well, we would need to – let them know that we would.
That's
they need
exactly
to be open
right.
to questions and stuff. So, I'm not sure.
So if it's something we're desiring, then maybe we can just have Brent reach back out to Christine and see, you know, if she can do it quarterly. What ready from the city here, and you know, we'll just move this off to a future report back to us, and then
sounds great.
Let us know how it goes.
Sounds great.
Great.
Because Christine Johnson did address that with me, and she said that she was looking at, you know, trying to become more engaged with this board. So
then,
thank you.
Do we have any public comment on the director's report? No public comment. Closing public comment. Just asking because we have one member of the audience. So I just, you know, want to be polite. Yeah, terrific. Then off we go, I guess, on the next item on the agenda. Sorry, I forgot that I was chairing this meeting. Okay. So we'll close the executive directors and staff report, and we're back to strategic planning session now. Item number, is that 8 on our, strategic planning special meeting of the board to discuss the Bureau's 5-year plan. I'll turn this over to Brent,
yep,
for a little overview, and then we'll be looking at possibly setting a date.
Well, I'm, you know, Joan, if we can maybe switch some things around, because I think with the Civitas presentation, that's going to be on the 21st. I was kind of curious, if we're looking at any dates, should we be looking at doing a strategic planning session on the same day or at the same time as the BID presentation, or do we want to look at having that be at a completely separate date, maybe perhaps in the month of November?
My personal feeling is the strategic planning session should come after the Civitas, maybe in the month of November. The Civitas presentation, I think, is, you know, taking it's getting legs under it now, and I think it's probably going to be a 3-hour presentation to ask folks to take 8 hours, because I just, you know, 6 to 8 hours with a lunch break or whatever, it just seems like a lot. I don't know. Just speaking off the top of my head, I don't know what you guys think.
Well, I like the idea of November. I think it gives us time. Plus, November is quiet time, so we can get a part of, we can concentrate on that. And the other thing, I think I mean, John was involved with the 5 years plan with the city. Is anything happening on that as far as you know, or anything, or is it just dropped now?
No, nothing yet. I mean, they are still working on the act. I know that the bids had went out on who is going to be like the presenter or kind of like the coordinator. John, I believe that they chose somebody, correct?
Don Maruska, I believe is
Maruska.
His name.
Maruska. So I think it's just we haven't, you know, the city actually reached out to us, to myself, as well as Michelle, and then we connect, you know, we looped Joan in since she's the new chair. So they haven't selected a specific date as far as like to start that process as of yet. But I know that we've been in on the loop on that one.
The reason I bring it up, you know, our 5 years plan, hopefully it's complementary to the,
right.
you know,
right.
their plan. It would, you know, I mean, it will affect our plan, I'm sure, if they come up with something. So I don't want to delay ours, but I'm just...
Right.
If I may jump in, I don't think that we're delaying... we shouldn't delay ours, and the city is keenly interested in what happens in this workshop. They see this as part of the spokes in the wheel, and is when they look at the hub of what they're going to be doing for economic development and their five-year plan, this is a major wedge in the pie. And so they want this to go forward. They want to be keenly involved with this. They definitely want sooner rather than later save the date notice and all that for city council once we set a date, for city council, city staff, and then to get the information out to the public as soon as possible, because they see it as part of the solution to their five-year plan and as a wedge in the pie for economic development. That's my understanding.
Well, the concern I have, I mean, we're a hotel group, and we really want to hopefully focus mostly what we're going to do with our, you know, hotel representation. Now, that's hopefully is a small piece of the picture for them, because they're probably hopefully looking to grow their sales tax and whatsoever. I agree with you. I think we should just move on in ours. I'm not saying delayed, but I also want to see where they're going with theirs and how much would have any impact with us, you know?
So no, good point, Alex, because we have to work in concert with the city.
That's right.
I mean, we shouldn't be working opposite of them. But for the strategic planning session, there has been a lot of points brought up since I've started with the Bureau. I think it's been looking at what's the board structure, they've been at a disadvantage, and, you know, we have to stay focused on the goal on bringing an economic impact to Morro Bay through the lodging community, but how do we expand that? That's been a lot of the discussion from the board and from a lot of the lodging properties here in Morro Bay. How do we get some of the other businesses to be engaged and to help pay for, you know, what's going to happen? I mean, you know, the marketing, the sales efforts, etc. I mean, how do we have that engagement process? And so there's really a lot for us to discuss as far as like strategic wise. And I think it's always been important, and Jane, I give you a lot of credit, because you are one of the board members that asks those tough questions and saying, we have to act like a business, and most businesses do have a more long-range plans. And from day one, you're like, we need to have a five-year plan. And so we really have to sit down and take the time to put that strategic plan together.
Brent makes several good points there. And I think when you go back and look at the budgeting process we just went through, I mean, it wasn't made abundantly clear. It was made absolutely crystal clear in direct conversation that the current city council would like to see tourism self-funded going forward, that we need to get out of our heads that we're going to be able to go to the general fund well ever again. And we've got to have a plan that takes us there. And that includes funding the visitor center. The city does not want to fund the visitor center anymore, and it was direct conversation. That's one point. Another is, as far as the whole economic development plan is concerned, is my feeling is that many people in city council really have not been able to, or have not thought through, or don't have a vision, I think that's what the term was, of what this thing should look like down the road. And again, that was pretty blatant conversation. I think this planning session is got to be, it's probably after the October meeting, then the 21st. Mm-hmm. It's got to be at least 5 hours. It's probably a full day conversation. And I think we should go into it looking at what our five-year plan is, can really serve as a model for what the entire five-year plan for the entire city could look like going forward. Because I think what this group has, the lodging industry has accomplished, has been pretty successful over the last 4 or 5 years, and we can build on that success going forward. There will be more BIDs, or an expansion of this BID, or several more BIDs incorporating different parts of the city or different industries in the city. I think funding of economic growth, that's probably where the funding is going to be coming from. Part of the reason I get sensitive about what happened to the $515,000 that we were over budget last year is, I think what we need to do is say, going forward, we need to take a significant portion of that growth and reinvest it in the five-year plan. It's additional funding for the five-year plan. We're going to need a lot of money. And when I say reinvesting, I mean, part of what we need is the tourism parts of the city are kind of run down right now. So there's got to be a lot of reinvesting in the physical plan of Morro Bay going forward to make this the kind of tourist attraction that I think it really could be. But anyway, my net on this is I think that we should go into this planning session, strategic five-year planning session, with the idea that we can actually create a model that could be the model for the entire city moving forward. It talks about funding of the city. It talks about membership of the board. Maybe we expand this board. We bring other non-moteliers onto this board. I mean, a whole lot of things we've got to talk about that would make this model as optimal as possible.
I like the idea, John. I think narrow it down also is very important, because we can go, long, there's a lot of issues. So I think we'll look at it more like a hotels group, what we want to do, and I agree with that would be a model maybe for them. I don't know if they're going to adopt it or not, but that's a separate issue. But the point is, I think we've been talking about 5 years plan, in the past, and definitely we got to do this. As soon as, the only thing I was, of course, concerned what city is doing. And is in that 5 years plan meeting, which we're going to have November, are we going to have, or do we want to have people from city involved as well, or we just want to do it our own? I mean, that's another question that I have. I think the board should decide.
I think we 5 year plan.
The other question that I would have for the board is that if we're looking at a strategic plan, my recommendation would be is that we bring in a professional facilitator.
I would agree with that. Since, Michelle, I think, more eloquently points out that we're living in a parallel universe with the city. They're moving forward trying to get their strategic plan, and we're moving forward with ours. But, we're a business group, so we move at a different clip than the glacial speed of government. So we're going to move forward and keep going forward and keep the ball rolling. So I totally agree with having a facilitator come in, and might be nice if we can look. Somebody mentioned Don Maruska. They may have settled on him for a facilitator, but I believe there are also a number of other facilitators out there in our county who would probably be, pliable to
someone
come in.
Someone, I
one
think,
of our
lodging
days.
Would be makes more sense right. for us. Someone, if we can get someone that has done that kind of development in different city, even, like Santa Barbara or something would be
done
nice.
Economic development for lodging.
Right, right.
And strategic planning for lodging.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
There is somebody that I know from my past career in the Midwest that I will reach out to him. He was a Convention and Visitor Bureau executive director. He helped the city of Madison, Wisconsin help find funds as well as develop the plan for their convention center and helped execute that. He also assisted with the city, and now he's actually a facilitator as well as a person that actually is still in the industry but helps with different organizations like ours with some strategic planning. I don't know as far as like cost because he's still in Wisconsin. I know we have to bring a cheesehead out here, but I can definitely reach out to him to find out if that's something that he'd be interested in as just a different perspective.
I mean, this is a 5 years plan, so I think if anything that we spend up front, it's probably be well worth it. Yeah.
You know, can I just say also, John made a good point about the city, you know, what they can, you know, well, let me just start again. You know, it seems like down the road the city's kind of backing away from funding a lot of the tourist things like, you know, the visitor center. But I think one thing the city should do and look at is improving the infrastructure so we are a friendlier, in, you know, whether it's bike paths or showers or bathroom, you know, public restrooms, that kind of thing. So I think part of our 5-year plan should be taking an inventory. What do we need? Yeah, I know we need the roads improved. We need signage. We need, and these are things that the city, if they're not going to, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, I think that's something that this board could come up with some suggestions where the city can do as far as infrastructure.
Nick, I'm going to back up, and I totally agree with you. There's the Harbor Fund that's responsible for doing infrastructure projects down in the Embarcadero area and improving that area. The way the Harbor Fund is funded mostly is from the 3% of gross revenue that's collected off of the businesses that are sitting on the west side of the streets, part of the lease agreements. It would be nice to see some of those funds put back into an Embarcadero improvement plan, especially the funds that come into the coffers that are, you know, 50%. The revenue is about 50% above budget this year. Through the sales tax. So it would be nice for us as we move forward with our strategic plan to be able to reach out to the Harbor Board, for example, and maybe understand what their goals are, what their needs are, and what they're doing, and let them know that, you know, as we move forward, we have some asks of the city, and our ask list would be this: to make tourism really hum, which supports the Harbor Fund money. The other thing is, you know, we have a partnership growing with the Recreation and Parks Department, and this summer, I understand, I mean, we all know that we're in a horrible drought situation. The hotels are doing everything they can to, you know, have the reusable towel and the 3-day sheet. And we have all kinds of programs going on to conserve water in our hotels. But then we market the heck out of the city, market $500,000 this past year. And there's a surf contest, and you go down, and there's no showers. And we've got 300 people visiting for a surf count measures that we need to have, but let's also help have a cohesive plan all the way around. Let's have what the harbor needs to have to stay open, because that harbor, having a productive harbor supports tourism, and having good tourism receipts supports having that productive harbor. So we're all in it together, and we need to involve Recreation and Parks Board, and we need to involve the Harbor Department Board and whoever's doing planning for our neighborhoods on, you know, on what some of our asks are as we move forward. So anyhow, we're totally random thoughts off topic, but I think we're back to a date of November. I believe we're back to a date of November.
Again, back to what I think, you know, you mentioned a lot of issues, but we need to really try to focus in this thing, and it should be lodging, of course, but we know there's so much stuff needs to be done in this city. I think I cannot see why they have no plan. I cannot see why they don't have some money always put aside. I mean, good question. And you know, what is this $500,000? Or pay short what? This extra money should be saving for development. That's what I see. But I mean, we don't want to go there. But my point is that we really need to focus. And I think if we can get someone to help us, because we got so much issue going on, and I don't want us to spend 5 hours and then walk away frustrated and we're not getting anything done.
So strategic planning session November, yep. Let me summarize. Strategic planning session November, definitely have the city council liaison, at least Christine, involved, possibly our new city manager. He might have some ideas for us on, you know, the new city manager may have some great creative thoughts about Morro Bay, and so, you know, definitely an invitation there. Maybe back to us with some dates mid-November, not forgetting that we have Veterans Day weekend and a San Luis Coastal Unified School District, that Michelle knows this, she's probably thrilled as a mom, breaks for a full week at Thanksgiving this year. And so some of us may be traveling. Just some thoughts there. So we do move into that holiday section, so probably.
Why don't we think about having it at our November meeting and just blocking out that entire Thursday?
The second Thursday?
Yeah, the second Thursday. Then we have it. You'll already have the,
good idea,
you know,
Jane.
John Landis here, and then it's a done deal because we are all here on a Thursday.
Well, that's
why don't
good.
We just do that?
Yeah, I will have to check with the city to see on the facility here because there is a meeting after ours. So I would have to find out if we can use
that's
the facility.
That's fine. Or we could move to
the bureau office.
For sure.
We could go to the bureau office. Yep. We just noticed for the bureau office.
I really do see this as not just being a one. You know, we will have like a session, but I think that it's really going to be kind of a series of things. It won't be just one meeting and then that's it, but I think it's going to be one meeting and then we'll have to figure out as far as like if we're going to have a secondary or if it's just ongoing communications, because with most strategic plans too, there is some fluidity to that. So, but I'm glad that we're moving ahead with that.
Well, at least now, if we can think about that date, you can contact your facilitator because it really depends on him anyway.
Yeah.
And Stacy's good chocolate chip cookies.
Good thought. Good thought, Jane. Thank you. So we are moving ahead with this strategic planning session. And we are going to move on now to the Citavis presentation, Unlocking the Secrets of Bids. Oh, Nick has something. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
I was trying not to look up. I was
now,
trying
not on to. This, are we going to have city officials there for the whole time or maybe just like for the first hour? Or
Since it will be a public meeting and strategic planning is not a closed session, anyone who'd like to stay for the entire meeting may. Sure.
All right. So it's a public meeting.
Yep. So, and it'll be noticed as such and all that kind of good fun stuff. Okay. So now we're on to 9, Citavis presentation, Unlocking the Secrets of Bids, Finalize the Presentation Date and Invitees. Brent, your thoughts?
As you know, that October 21st, Tuesday, is going to be the date. I will probably have the finalized times with the city next week, so you'll be notified on that. Right now, we are actually looking at reaching out to city council, city staff, as well as the business community, especially restaurants and retail. I know that a lot of those folks, depending on the time of day that it's going to be, may or may not be able to attend. Plus, we do need to reach out to all of the other types of lodging, such as RV parks, the VRBOs, and the Airbnbs to be there as well. Because if we are looking at expanding in the future and have it be an equal playing field, as Jane says, you know, we definitely want them to be at the table so they have a better understanding of, you know, what the information to come on that. But I think if you have any other groups, organizations that you would like to invite that we should get on the list, please let me know.
Two questions. First of all, what's the time you We're planning to have that present. How long?
It's 3 hours.
3 hours. Yep. Then I personally think we should have a morning session and afternoon. That way we can get everybody, because a lot of people work on, you know, 21st, I think, is during the week, right? Yeah, and so a lot of people are going to be working. Well, morning is fine, but I'm just saying, would that be nicer if we could have two sessions? So that way it gives the people, you know, option, because you can't get everybody 100. I mean, we don't have a facility with 130, 40 people.
Record it.
Are you suggesting, Alex, to mirror the sessions, or?
Yeah, mirror the sessions.
Because if we do that, then the price actually doubles. Then we're looking at 6,000 versus 3,000. So I mean, if we feel that it's important, and we can definitely negotiate that too. But I mean, on your point, we want to make sure that the right people are at the table. And if they can't make it, then what's the purpose of actually having the session and investing in that? So it really does boil down to the availability of individuals. And if we don't have it at the right time, then the investment that we would be making into the session is going to be for naught. So, I mean, I totally agree with you that we have to make sure that the people that we want to have at the table are able to be there.
I think, didn't the last meeting we had, somebody help me out, my memory, we did a big, was it the sustainable funding meeting that we, or some? No, well, we had a meeting. Yeah, we were all set up.
It was our stakeholder meeting.
Right, that's what it was. And that was wasn't that a morning, like an 8 to 11? I thought that worked out pretty well. I know
we had that big circle. It was the big circle. But I don't think that was 100 to 150 people. Yeah, I think that was like 50.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We have 150 people. It wouldn't fit in this room. Wouldn't they?
Yeah. Lecture 300. See? Assembly maximum occupancy. Lecture 300.
160.
Okay. But I think from back to what I was saying, I think from my restaurateur standpoint, I think a morning meeting would work better.
Brent, I'm
just, if we only have a choice between the morning and the afternoon, morning is probably better, you know. But if you had, but again, come back to the cost. I mean, let's just have one session, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say, picking up on Joan's comment, why don't we make sure we reach out to the Harbor Board and the Parks and Recreation, all those kind of people, let's hopefully get some representation from them.
Good idea, thank you. And the interim city attorney would be good? Because I'm sure after that, if there's any questions about bids, it would be good for him to just, well, yeah.
And we also talked about the Chamber of Commerce as well. Are we looking at inviting the board from the
you
chamber?
Bet. Yep.
What about all the event boards that we sponsor? From Morro Bay Beautiful and somebody from the Harbor, 4th of July.
Because most of those are non-profit, you know.
Yeah, event coordinators.
So it's good to they know all the details of what 501's, you know, setup is. That's a good idea.
Well, I will tell you, too, since we didn't receive regional funds this year from the city, I don't know. I mean, we have to have a better way and a more effective way in how to communicate that, because a lot of individuals have been knocking on my door, calling and emailing, requesting funds, and I've had to explain to them that we don't have regional marketing funds. You know, some of the programs that were implemented in the past, there's no money to fund those this year, and a lot of people, you know, understand after I explain as far as like how we're structured and where we need to spend our dollars. But I don't know if they 100% understand. So I think, John, you bring up a great point as far as like for some of the, it's not specifically events, but I think, you know, there have been a lot of businesses stop at the bureau office with a lot of ideas and great ideas, but it's just really a matter of how to implement those and how it's going to be funded. So
the Merchants Association would be good. And, you know, I don't know, there's probably other groups as well that, you know, are out there that, you know, I don't know, the Associated Board of Realtors may even be good because they do, you know, the Scenic Coast Realtors, they may even be good because, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there you are. There's a realtor. So, but still, they, you know, they may be good because.
Great, such funds. You know, what it takes us for all of our time, paid time, and what the process would be if we decided to give these funds back to the city and let them administrate them.
Okay.
I think we also have to talk about...
reports.
What's that?
Reports.
The reports, and then also a board, too, as far as, like, with Karen Biagini off of the of the board, what is the process?
Yep.
What's kind of our timeline? So I think that's also important, too.
So I can give you an update on that. I was going to do that during board announcements. Something that Brent and I believe Jane and I discussed is we have a plethora of reports that come to us. Actually, it was 11 pages of web stats. There is a lot of time consumed in putting together all of those statistics. We have had conversations here about being careful not to ask staff to do so much administration that they're not out doing sales and marketing for us. I'd like to bring back a conversation about what reports we actually want that we think will help us guide our marketing efforts, and what reports we don't need, because I assure you that even though in the contracts it said reports are free, reports were never free with any of our marketing agencies. They were charging us. All of our marketing agencies all along have charged us for the reports and the additions to the reports and the changes to the reports. So we need to look at reports. So I'm going to bring that back as future agenda item as well.
And another thing I'd like on a future agenda item is there's in the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau bylaws, there is a section there where we can add two additional non-voting members that don't have to be approved by the council and expand the board to 9. I think that might be a good idea at this point, especially when that position might also come under applying for positions in January, but it's an easy way to transition somebody into the workings of this board. So I'd like to discuss that too.
So we'll put that as a discussion item. And John, you have your finger on the button?
No, I was going to, I like the topic. I was going to raise that one myself, except I think I would probably just defer it to our offsite and probably do it there, because I think it fits appropriately.
It fits into the scheme of the strategic planning,
yeah.
That 5-year strategic planning. I agree.
I think Jane's point might be, do we want to wait?
No, my point is, at the next meeting, maybe we have identified people and we can reach out to them and take action to do that and invite them.
Okay.
Does the board
want to? Well, we can't get into discussion. We have to stick to the Brown Act. So I want to keep us on topic.
I just want it on the next agenda.
Okay. Do we have support to have a discussion on percentage of board reviewing that section of the bylaws and board nominations?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The other question, Madam Chair, is that is this a discussion for the Bureau, or is this going to be an agenda item for the T-bid, because we don't actually have a T-bid agenda?
The two board members non-voting that she's opened up would be Bureau members. There would be Bureau non-voting board members. Okay. And so that's it, right? Good. I'm closing declaration of agenda items. Okay. Now, under board announcements, I'd like to announce to the public that Member Karen Biagini has resigned her position with the T-BID board and the Tourism Bureau board. She placed her resignation into us just about a week ago, a little over a week ago now, and we are very, very sorry to see her go. Karen has been a very steadfast supporter of the TBID. She was steady thinking and a terrific intellectual contributor. She always viewed everything, has viewed everything with an open mind and a heart that's pure for what's best for Morro Bay, and we appreciate her many, 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 many contributions to the board since 2009, and she will definitely be missed. That does, however, leave an immediate opening on the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District Board, and thus the Tourism Bureau Board, which directly mirrors that board clerk. They are going to notice that. They leave that notice open of the position for about 3 weeks for applications. Then there's like an application period. Then there's a date set for an interview. So we could possibly see the filling of this position for our December meeting. If that's the direction we want to go. Otherwise, we can hold off until January when the gentlemen will have let us, will their positions will be open. They will automatically fire a notice out. The city will automatically notice for their open positions. Whether they determine that they're going to reinvest their time or not in this direction is up to them. So we could be potentially looking at 4 members coming in January. If we want to wait that long, they would begin in the February meeting.
I just want to make a comment. I think we should fill in the position as soon as possible.
I agree.
Because, you know, the more we have fresh blood, as they say, in the board, the better it is. Plus, we're going to have to make all these, you know, things we want to do, especially the 5 years of plan and so forth. So I think if we can get them even sooner, then that would be great. But and I think that's why I really wanted John to stay, because I think, you know, the more we have on issues, the more discussion we have, even though sometimes lengthy, but it makes a better decision. So I like to see at least Karen's position to fill in immediately. And, I mean, John at least is still with us till the end of the year. So, and then that could be a part of the, you know, 3-4 us guys that are going to be, you know, deciding what to do there.
So I can't go for a vote or do anything, and we can't really get into discussion because this is announcements, but I think we have a general consensus to move forward with trying to get Karen's position filled sooner rather than later. I would like to say to the board, please feel free to reach out to Karen, say thank you to her for her long length of determination to see the TBIG succeed, and we wish Karen all the best and a happy, successful business down on the Embarcadero, and good times with her friends and family. So
and get well quick.
Our hat is off to Karen. Yeah. So thank you, Karen, very much. And with that...
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
All we need to do is ask the city to put out an application.
That's
for
what
that.
We're gonna
do. It has nothing to do... And I know we want to fill it quickly, but it's going to take the city some time. So that's all we have to do, just ask them to do that.
Right. So anyhow, our hat's off to Karen, and thank you for that. And with that, we're adjourned.
No, board announcements.
What? Sorry, trying to get through it. Board announcements. Baseball.
I'm sorry. Baseball. I've got a couple of board announcements. First off, it is my son's 10th birthday today, so that is an important venue. So happy birthday, Madden, because actually Dad pulls this up and watches me. The other thing, a big 10-0, so it's a big one. The other thing, I'm actually going to wear a different political hat here today because I never, ever do board announcements. But I want to just announce out to the public, all you hoteliers with kids out there and anyone who cares about our future, there's a ballot that's coming out in November. There will be a Measure D on the ballot. It is for a $177 million bond measure for schools, for the San Luis Obispo Unified School District, which would be Morro Bay High School and San Luis Obispo High School. Obviously, I have 2 small children. I'm very passionate about this issue. And so I'm not going, obviously, I'm endorsing it, but I would just ask all of you to read up on it, educate yourself on it. There is actually something here in Morro Bay, September 17th, Wednesday the 17th at 6 o'clock, there is a reception down at Fiona Blue Gallery, 900 Embarcadero. So if you're interested in more information, please come to that reception. If you want any information, you can email me. I have all the endorsements, fact sheets, San Luis Unified School District information. But if anybody's toured through our schools, I actually went to San Luis High School over 20 years ago, and let's just say it's in the same shape as it was 20 years ago. And 20 years ago, we had leaking roofs. So I think this is an important thing, and I hope everybody, at least if anything, educates themselves. It's only $49 per $100,000 assessed value on your home. So it's not asking for a huge amount of dollars, and we need to invest in our children. So I just want to throw Measure D out in the ballot. Please educate yourself. I rarely get the floor, so I'm doing it. I'm not chair anymore. I can do these things. So so please educate yourself. That's my board announcement.
Board announcements. Avocado Festival this weekend for the Chamber of Commerce, Avocado Margarita Festival, and additionally, prior to our next meeting, the huge and terrific Herber Festival will occur, and that is down on the Embarcadero again. And a great lineup. They've got Beatlemania one day and the Fag. Oh, my gosh. Motion to adjourn, please. Okay. Second? Thank you, Nick. All in favor? Aye. If you're not in favor, you can stay.
We're not used to finishing this early.